I'm Haley Taylor, and you're listening to The Rough Draft Diaries. Every once in a while, the connections on The Rough Draft Diaries lead us outside of Northwest Ohio, and today is definitely one of those occasions. Today you'll be meeting a lawyer who's currently living in New York City.
Sure. So my name is Tariq Ismail. I am an attorney at the CLEAR Project at CUNY Law School in New York City.
Tariq is a supervising attorney who supervises students at the clinical project CLEAR.
CLEAR stands for Creating Law Enforcement Accountability and Responsibility.
The project began in 2009 when issues began to present themselves within the Muslim, Arab, and South Asian communities in regards to national security law enforcement.
The FBI, for example, was just randomly coming to people's doors and asking them questions about their places of worship, their community spaces, about their student groups, and people sort of didn't know what to do. They were sort of taken aback by the interest that law enforcement had, and they weren't sure what their rights were, and they were kind of intimidated at the idea that, you know, people were showing up on their doorsteps or in their apartment buildings and flashing FBI badges.
Members in this community were also finding it difficult to travel. Instances where individuals were held for hours for questioning at the airport when other American citizens were not became more common. And Tariq, along with his fellow students and colleagues, felt the need to offer their assistance.
The first step of what we do is go into community spaces, walk them through what their rights are in a scenario like the one that I've described. You know, imagine having the FBI knock on your door and not knowing what to do. Especially if you're from an immigrant background and you're not used to pushing back on law enforcement, it's very easy to sort of imagine a world where the right thing to do is open the door, offer them tea and cookies, have a conversation, because you don't imagine that you've done anything wrong. And so what could there be to hide? And the second then is to offer them the support in a scenario like that one, where we can step in and say, hey, you know, we represent this vulnerable individual, and what can we do for you? How can we be of assistance? Is there any way that this person might be able to sort of help a particular investigation that you're conducting, or instead are you just sort of fishing around for information at this person's mosque or community space?
And over the years, CLEAR has found that the individuals the government labels as a national security threat has grown. Tariq mentioned that just recently the FBI designated Black Lives Matter organizers as Black Identity Extremists, and they receive the same kind of treatment as those in the Muslim, Arab, and South Asian community.
The FBI has come to our clients' homes and said, hey, you know, we're looking into identity theft. Do you mind talking to us for a second? Or, hey, you know, there was a church vandalized down the street. We want to talk to you about it. Or, you know, we're concerned your car may have been stolen. Could we talk to you about it? And none of those things will have been true. There'll have been ruses that were used to get into the home and talk to people. And that sort of scares people, right? Or if it doesn't scare them, it alerts them to the fact that, well, maybe, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. And I think it's really important that people come to that realization.
Tariq mentioned awareness has grown as the Trump presidency has brought phrases like travel ban and executive order to the forefront. But Tariq also said that this issue is bigger than who is currently commander-in-chief.
We were founded in 2009, and so until January 20th of 2017, we only knew one president, and we were very busy. We were working with people who were held up at the airport for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours at a time, sometimes U.S. citizens, for no good reason, regardless of the political party or the mental stability of the president. And so it's, I guess, really important that people also keep the momentum going beyond whether it's 2020 or 2024. It's great to have support now, and it will be greater to continue to have this support even when there's not, you know, a paradigmatic bad guy for us to take out our anger at.
So for Tariq, the mission continues, and it doesn't look like there's an end in sight just yet. But that doesn't mean that Tariq has lost hope. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
I don't think you can do this work unless you have hope for the future. I mean, I don't think you can do this work unless you're willing to imagine a society that's different than the one that we're living in now, where everyone is treated with respect. I think that there are glimmers of hope in moments that we see, whether it's people gathering at airports or on street corners or giving space for unrepresented and marginalized communities to speak. It's so important that these voices are heard, and I'm just so grateful for the time to talk to you.
Before you go, here's Tariq's connections for the next episode of the Rough Draft Diaries.
Layla Haddad, she's from Gaza and has written a couple of cookbooks about Gaza cooking. There's another woman, her name is Noura. She's a law professor. And Jean Theo Harris, she's a history professor, and she wrote a book, Rebellious Life of Rosa Parks.
You'll have to tune in to find out who I pick. For now, I'm Haley Taylor, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Rough Draft Diaries.